Christian, peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
People often describe themselves as either pessimists or optimists. The optimist sees the glass half full, while the pessimist sees the glass half empty. Either way, what's the main goal? To have a full glass, right? An empty glass is just something to look at, while a full glass means that you have an entire beverage still waiting for you. Full glass gives you hope and anticipation. And an empty glass means the happiness has now departed. Now, we Christians are often mocked for what we celebrate during Holy Week. First, many will say that Jesus' passion is riding into Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday, only to be killed on Friday, demonstrates that we Christians love wallowing in pessimism. That celebrating Jesus emptying himself of all dignity, even of life itself, expresses some kind of deep-seated need for us to beat ourselves up, always looking on the dark side. They'd say that we Christians must feel too guilt-ridden ever to allow ourselves to have a full glass of life. Then, by the climax of Holy Week, Easter morning, we'll be mocked again for foolish optimism, for believing in a myth that someone, some ancient forehead of ours, Jesus Christ our Lord, actually rose from the dead. Get a life, we're told. Deal with the realities of this world as they are, we're told. Address the problem going on around us rather than wasting our time dreaming of some sort of pie in the sky. Foolish, glass half full, whistling in the dark optimism. So what is it? Well, after we hear this, right, a blessed Holy Week to you, right? A week when we're not about a glass half full. We're not about a glass half empty. It's about Jesus emptying himself in order to make us full. That's what St. Paul's teaching us in our epistle reading today. Jesus emptied himself for us. For you, specifically, that you may be full. You know, of course, why people charge us with being pathological pessimists. It's because we so often start by talking about our sins. We are commanded to empty ourselves, following in Jesus' footsteps, following his example. But what happens when you try to follow Jesus? What happens when you try to follow him as an example? You come up, well, empty, right? Paul tells us to have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. That's a mind that is the example of perfect love. A mind that is humble, coming into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. Not a noble steed, not a mighty elephant, but a donkey. A mind of perfect obedience that allowed himself to be arrested, to be put on trial, to be tortured, and finally, to be put to death on a cross. A criminal's death, mind you, according to the Father's will. Love is giving his own blood for your salvation. Love that empties oneself to serve someone else. You're commanded to empty yourself like that, but when we try, we always come up empty. Instead, we're quite full of ourselves, right? Acting out our own selfishness. We step on others in order to better ourselves. The world sees those who serve as less successful, and we we don't want to settle for that, do we? We want to be very successful. And so it's not simply being pessimistic or looking on the dark side. It's the reality that we now live in. It's just the way that our sinful nature always works. If you try for yourself, you try to empty yourself, you will always come up empty. When Jesus emptied himself, not only did he not come up empty, but this also led to his being exalted to the full. During his time on earth, Jesus didn't always fully use all his divine powers. We call this his state of humiliation. That began when he emptied himself to become one of us, a tiny baby inside of Mary's womb. It meant putting himself in our place, the place of sinful mankind, a place under the law. Ultimately, it meant not using his divine powers to defend himself against his sinful creatures. Doing those things we'll see again this week. His arrest, his trial, the beatings, his death, even death on a cross, allowing himself to be killed for us. Think about that. Think about what that means. But Jesus emptying himself didn't leave him empty, did it? God highly exalted him. The name of Jesus becomes a name that is above every name. A name that when spoken, every knee bows before him. A name that leads every tongue to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And now Jesus uses all his divine attributes. We call this a state of exaltation. That's not just a glass half full. That's completely full. And it's not foolish optimism either. It's truth. It's reality. It's who Jesus truly is. In Christ Jesus, then, we who are empty are also fully exalted. Jesus is not just an example of a person who perfectly empties himself for us, an example that we are supposed to perfectly follow. What he did for us counts for all of us. We still can't perfectly empty ourselves of our selfishness as we ought, but he took our place, the place of poor, miserable sinners who are under law. And why did he do that? To fulfill the law for us. He humbled himself, even to death on a cross, to take our death, to take our punishment upon himself. We now don't have to pay for our sins ourselves. Jesus has done that for us. We don't have to pay for the fact that we fall short of the glory of God. Jesus paid for those things for us, and he did so with his own life. That means that each of us now share in Jesus' full exaltation. We get to wear his name for all eternity. When we kneel before him, it will not be bowing in shame, but in faith, in joy. With the angels, we will be able to sing. We will sing his praises forever, knowing that God will fully exalt us with Christ. He will fill us with his love that can humble itself in service to one another. This is a Christ-like mind. It doesn't happen without Jesus. None of the God-pleasing things that we do happen without Jesus. So by emptying himself, Jesus fills you. He gives you his life so that you will not die, but live eternally with him. He gives his blood to cover you in righteousness. He came down from heaven in the form of man to live a perfect life for you, to win for you the forgiveness of sins. His atoning death takes death from you. And he did this willingly and without complaint. He sacrificed himself for you. He emptied himself so that you would be full for all eternity. No more pessimism, no more optimism. We have no need for those things. We have everything we need And so we say, as the crowd said, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.